Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This week it's Snatch Game.
Honey, they came in they're not wearing sunny boots, they're wearing shady boots this week.
Shady boots. And we learn all about being shady behind our sisters' backs.
Mm-hmm. And we see one of the most respected fabrics, sequin dot fabric.
That's right. Now I'm going to take my lipstick off and we're going to get right into this episode.
Forever Dog. Race Chaser.
Hard ice.
I'm Mr. Cold Miser. I'm Mr. Snow. Everything that I touch turns to ice in my clutch. I've got ice in my clutch. Okay. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. And welcome back to Race Chaser. A podcast dedicated to the discussion, dissection,
and dissemination
of every single dang episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. Starting from the very beginning.
This is the beginning.
My name's Alaska. What's yours?
Hello. I'm Judge Number 8, Willem.
Yep.
I'm still in pageant mode. I'm sorry.
The Hateful Eight.
The Hateful Eight. Oh, you saw my scores, huh?
No, I did not. I stay out of it.
Oh, Lola was kind enough
emotional.
She was kind enough to correct me. She said, you gave a 3. You know this is out of 20, right? And I said, yeah, make it a 2.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to talk about that at another time.
Maybe on the Hot Gossingtons.
I would like to get into some serious analysis. Padricap. Yeah, definitely.
Paginalysis,
because it really is, there's a whole theory and like, it's like analyzing a sports game. And it'll be really interesting to see, how it all shake down. And I have to say, you know, the pageant was yesterday. And I'm just so grateful to everybody who made it happen and everybody who tuned in. Congratulations to our crowned winner, Tenderoni from Chicago. Yes.
Tenderoni put on a good goddamn show. That mix, everybody was entertained.
Yeah.
Loved it.
So good. So wonderful. Everybody brought it. There were no clunkers.
No, and bitch, he needs to steal Little Miss Maureen's green screen idea and do it with that suit. Because I was like, does he not know that suit could do that?
Tenderone could definitely do that. Girl, I've been changing my green clothes to every which color you can imagine for years.
I've seen your green clothes. They're gangrene.
That is my go-to. We'll be talking more in depth about the pageant on Hot Goss this week. But you know what? There is this show called RuPaul's Drag Race. I don't know if you've heard of it. Have you watched the RuPaul?
Oh, you're on the RuPaul.
Are you on RuPaul?
You're a racer girl.
Oh my God. I love RuPaul. I've seen every episode. Which one are you?
I love that RuPaul. I can't believe that one is so beautiful. That one drag queen, what's her name? Black hair. Oh, Michelle. Beautiful. Couldn't even tell. Could not even tell. She wasn't born that way. Last week, we had a special COVID documentary special with our orange-lipped beauties. And now we are back into the competition episodes. And on episode 8, just to recap, the Maxi Challenge was a rusical, which Rosé won, and Candy and Simone did the lip sync. We had a double Shantae from Rue, which means this week there are 9 queens left and only one snatch to snatch.
That's right. And we dive right in with Candy being told, well, she has just survived. She just got the Candy Muse save.
She's a survivor.
With the heart of a fighter. I'm a survivor. And she said, you know, there's nothing more heart-wrenching than that moment. And I can imagine. She went through the range of emotions, really thinking she was going home and then coming back from the brink.
When you lost, did anyone tell you to leave the stage? Or did you just know, I should move at this point because I did not win? I mean, it did happen to you once. So what was that like? Was that just like, no, oh, like fading back into the hedges like Homer? What was
no,
that like for
I
you?
Cried and screamed and threw a fit because
no,
I was
on stage,
in a hotel
though.
Suite. No, well, no, I mean, it never really happened.
Oh, yeah, because it was all filmed, right?
We knew it was going to be a, you know.
You didn't have a live crowning like season 4 did at all, though? Because we filmed 3 endings and then all 3 girls were on stage and nobody really knew which ending was going to play. And then they crowned Sharon. So...
Well, but that was still at a live finale. So it was like acting. I mean, when I had to act not winning, like we did for All Stars, we filmed different endings for All Stars. Mm-hmm. I was very gracious in my acting.
How wonderful.
Yeah. I was very gracious.
Denali is annoyed that all these girls are still here. And
some of the girls are talking about winner circles.
These bottom 3 last week's were those queens. All the Winter Circle girls were in the bottom last week. Mm-hmm. So clearly they aren't all winners to her anymore.
I guess it was weighing on people's minds in the season. I mean, to me, I'm like, that seems so long ago. The competition has been shaken up and switched and turned and twisted. Like, I'm not thinking of this in terms of teams, but they probably break off into friend groups and they're like, because that naturally happens when you get a bunch of drag queens together. It does happen.
Yeah.
So she's feeling that. Rosé says the winner's circle is dead. New York is dead. Oh, my God. Here I am smoking by a window. I'm so bored I could die.
She was a good judge.
Krista Johnston.
She was my favorite. So the next day, RuPaul comes into the workroom. And do you want the Raisinettes or Red Vine? No, we'll have Good and Plenty.
I'll have the Good and Plenty because they look like pills. No, I love this suit. I don't like Good and Plenty, actually. They're not my favorite candy.
No, me neither. I can eat like one of the Good and Plenties, but like another one, I'm like, oh, that's the one I don't like.
Yeah. They're not good, and I've had plenty.
I've had plenty.
But I love the suit. This is so cool. And it's perfect for Snatch Game because it is that sort of like 60s,
that mod,
60s mod
moment. Yeah.
And then there's mod.
So the mini challenge before we get to Snatch is the girls have to create a punk drag look for their audition for their new band, The Pantyhose. And this is inspired by Rue's punk band, The Wee Wee Pole, which was... which you can see her in the mohawk and the football shoulder pads and the jock strap.
So cool.
Very punk, very cool, New York 84 type of thing. These girls are using tights and leggings provided by Snag Tights. That's Snag Tights. Who would name your tights Snag Tights? That's like calling your pantyhose ripped pantyhose. It's like the opposite of what you want to happen.
Was there
no marketing?
It's wild because I've been calling Leg Avenue Snag Tights because as soon as you take them out of the package, they get snagged on the cardboard and they're ruined.
They get snagged on the plastic when you take them out.
They really do. So I don't know what is up with that name, but you know what? We're talking about it. And I guess it works.
And they gave $2,500 to the winner of the challenge. So they must have some coins.
May have Mianti.
This
song is called Rocket Baby, Rocket Baby. I've heard this song. It's from one of RuPaul's albums. And it's,
are you okay?
No, it's good. It's a fun, upbeat kind of, it's about being a rebel.
It's not the... she already did that song. She did Hey Girl, Get Your Rebel On.
Get your rebel on.
This will never be a runway song.
No.
But Rue does do a high kick, and she's still got it, bitch.
Baby, she's got extension. She's got... I bet she could drop into a split, and I'm not even joking.
I wish she'd split.
Could you imagine the day when RuPaul is just like, I've had enough, and just
dropped
a split at the... Say hello to our fabulous guest judges. Oh, and bitch, check this out.
It'll be...
I think she could do it.
No, she'll have Tina Burner legs, and there'll be an Elphaba trap door in the floor. That's what'll happen.
The pit crew makes their triumphant return, darling.
Thank God. We're down to two. They're falling like flies. They're still not in shoes, but thank God they have masks on.
How in the age of COVID are you going on to a set without... Are you allowed to go on a set without shoes?
I'm not sure. Maybe you could put a mask on your toes. That would be at least a little protection.
KN95. Bruno has been on a bulking cycle, and I am not angry about it.
Come to Brazil.
What the fuck?
Bruno has had time on his hands, and he is working it and pumping it.
Brick shit house.
Honey, let me tell you, when he did the Es Una Pasiva video, because he was my man candy for that, Anthony's job on set was to oil him up, and Anthony had to pay me that day. Anthony and Sonique, both of them were like, ooh, I'll hold the bottle. I was like, y'all are whores. I'd be doing it if I didn't have nails on, because nail glue and oil don't mix. I have a question about these drums, though. Are these the same drums that you used in your All-Stars 4 mole cameo moment?
I mean, in all likelihood, it's very possible. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure they pulled them out. They keep them around. I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
That's what I'm doing with dicks. Pull them out, keep them around.
Right.
Which of these face skinny looks were you featuring from the gals with the ripped up tights and the things?
I really liked Candy Muse's look. I think she captured the moment. And Got Mick did a really, really cool, very punk delivery.
Yeah, I liked Got Mick's, and I thought Rosé's was good too. And Tina Burner, she just let it all hang out, and I give her props for that.
Tina Burner's ass cheeks launched a thousand ships. The other direction. Just kidding.
Launched the Coast Guard. They said, put something on!
That was like the most viral moment, because, you know, they released the first 10 minutes. And so it was like, I just opened Instagram one random Wednesday, and it was just Tina Burner's ass cheeks were everywhere. So good on you, Tina.
It's shake and quake, and I didn't help. Tina Burner won $2,500. She did. And the maxi challenge is announced as Snatch Game, and they're very direct. Rue says, make Rue laugh. That's the only goal.
Make me laugh. You know? It is the goal.
Yes.
Do you think that queens really are, because Candy muses that that you are judged for the rest of your career on how you did on Snatch Game? Do you find that to be the case?
You know, you said you don't.
I do.
Oh, I definitely do. It's one of those moments. It's a long form improv challenge, and I think it shows a lot about what you can do off the cuff and on stage with a mic. You know, like Lawrence Chaney, super duper funny, but kind of bombed the Snatch Game, and for that alone, I'd rather give it to Bimini, you know, just because they're neck and neck. But for this one, I feel like you can do bad on Snatch, and it can be forgotten as long as it was an earlier season. Nowadays, it's like nowadays it can't happen. But I feel like if you look at the past winners of Drag Race and the franchise, all of them have done probably top three in Snatch Game. They've all been. Right?
How soon we forget Evie Oddly's Whoopi Goldberg on Snatch Game. I said most. Right. It's not a hard, fast rule. But I think we can
figure it out from the beginning. Bebe, she didn't have Snatch Game. Second season was Tyra, and she did Beyonce badly, I think.
Bad. She was in. Yeah, she did.
Booger Boots. Tatiana once. Tatiana was season two or three?
She
was two.
But Raja did two. Well. As
Raja was Tyra. Season four, Sharon, me, and Chad top. Sharon won. Season five, Sharon feel like Jinx won. Season six, don't remember, maybe Ben or Bianca.
Bianca Ben. Won the season, but Bianca did well as Judge Judy.
Yeah, I just feel like the top girls like know their way around a snatch and make and bantering with someone because that's all it is. This is just a banter game.
Violet Chachki was Alyssa Edwards.
That was funny. Yeah.
It was good.
Bob was Carol Channing, I think, and somebody
she
else.
She took it. She won.
She
it.
Was sickening. Number 10 was Aquarius year. Was she Melania and did she win?
She did good. I can't remember if she won, but she did good. She might have won.
11 was
Evie Oddly.
12 was
Welcome
Gigi
to the View.
Good.
Welcome to the View. Welcome to the View. Welcome to the View. Welcome to the View. That's my Whoopi Goldberg impression.
I feel like 12 was either Gigi or Jada, maybe, and both of them did well.
Right.
Snatch Game is a barometer for doing well in the competition. It's one of the major challenges, and that's all we're saying, I think. Don't make us do the math.
Well, all I'm saying right now is we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Give a twirl, give a twirl.
Well, we'll take a break on that one.
Give a twirl, give a twirl.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones, and, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite. And you should, like, try to appreciate it and then take downtime and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you. And then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it, and she really liked it, too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag. Today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
We are back with a vengeance, and the girls are getting ready in the workroom, and some of the dolls are talking about who they're going to be doing. Candy Muse is doing Patrick Starr, head wrap, you know, scarf and everything. Denali is doing Jonathan Van Ness.
Brilliant. Utica has this. I love this wig. It's
very Bob, you.
Thank you. It's a Bob Ross wig made out of squirrels. Wow. And everybody is like side-eyeing it, front-eyeing it, back-eyeing it. It makes sense what she says. She's very conscious about like not offending people, I think, this whole season she's been, and she doesn't want to appropriate any hairstyles. But like RuPaul said it, that white people have, like, Art Garfunkel has an afro. When my hair's short, honey, it frizzes out into a fro if it's like because it grows out before it grows down. You know how curly hair goes sometimes.
I do.
Why, it, Bob Ross had a fro. People have fros.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, it was a style as well that has been used. Like, I remember my dad had a perm to get hair like that, like when I was like a baby. Luckily, that was a short-lived phase, but I wonder, is that cultural appropriation, my dad getting a perm to have that Bob Ross hair? I don't know.
I'm not sure, because like the white people froze that I've seen on like me and the Art Garfunkel, like it's not
natural.
It's not as like, what's the word? It's not as, when mine does it, it's more of a frizzle frazzle, and it's not a tight curl as it would be with an African American like 4C pattern, like a picked out version of that. Right. So like I'm really not sure. I wore two afros in my promo because I wanted to, you know, just have big hair, and it was kind of like my hair if I didn't bleach it and straight iron the fuck out of it back then. So like I didn't feel bad about it. I do understand times are changing, and I'm glad Utica had the sense to think about that at least, because she could have been crucified, you know. I think she was going to be damned if she did, damned if she didn't, either way.
Well, we'll see how that turns out when we get to Snatch Game.
She's queen of damned.
God, Mick is deciding to do Paris Hilton, someone she knows personally. Rosé is doing Mary, Queen of Scots. Candy says, what's that?
Is that like an Ireland accent? Oh, no, Ireland accent. Is that a thing?
What? Now Candy's pissing off the Scottish and the Irish.
Girl,
by
she ain't getting no Glasgow geeks.
She's not welcome.
They said they're going to deny her at the border. She's going to say, but wait, I'm an art student.
Wait, weren't you the one who didn't know the difference between Scotland and Ireland? Denied.
She's going to smuggle herself in a sheep's belly.
Girl, yes.
Haggis Muse.
Haggis Muse.
Rue comes in, pops in to do a little walkthrough, a little chit-chat around.
Little chit-chats.
And Elliot mentions that he's doing Rue McClanahan.
Now, more like Rude McClanahan.
Rude the day McClanahan.
Now, I mean, if she rude the day, she made this choice.
Yeah.
So RuPaul's like, I have seen every episode of The Golden Girls at least 25 times. And Elliot's like, my boyfriend watches it. I've seen it. I'm catching up to you. I've seen it.
Yeah.
I like the old one. Did you know? Did you know that the old one was actually the youngest? Did you know that?
The most basic, like, she wasn't Sunday the youngest. Parade.
People say that all the time. So Sophia fucking was not the youngest.
Wasn't she the second youngest?
Estelle Getty. Yes. The youngest was Rue McClanahan. She was the youngest. But it was remarkable because Sophia, the actress playing Sophia, was younger than the person who played her daughter. So that was, it is an interesting factoid, but it's also, it's like beginner's Golden Girls. And RuPaul is the boss level.
Honey, there is blood in the water as soon as Elliot says he's doing Rue to RuPaul, because she's just like, there's going to be only one Rue on this set, honey, and it ain't going to be you. That's
it's
basically
be
what
my...
May. Elliot says, though, it's worth the risk, and we'll see how that pans out. Simone doing Harriet Tubman.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant.
So funny.
So great. And I like that Rue asks, are you worried about people being offended? And she said, no, and if they are, good, you know? Because, like, right. I feel like she's saying what drag queens have been saying for years. Like, this is how we can offend people through our art and stuff. And we are artists, and we can do that. Like, you know, stop trying to cancel Eminem for something he did in 1992.
Right. And we're artists. Can, yeah. And RuPaul warns Simone, don't, you can be reverent, but still, like, you know, make it funny. Don't let your reverence get in the way of your comedy. Like, oh, who was the one? Oh, I think Detox was like, I'm doing Kesha. I don't want to make fun of her.
Yeah, you need to go there or not go there.
RuPaul says, oh, I love this person. Oh, I love Britney too much. I love Lady Gaga. I love Christina. No, has anyone done Christina on the Snatch Game? That would be a hard one.
Not that I know of. You just
That'd be too hard. But they wouldn't use it because it's too close to a real song, and they cut out musical shit.
Give a twirl, give a twirl. All that.
And Elliot has to say, "I'm doing Rue McClanahan," when she's actually doing
Blanche. Yeah, right. Because you can't do copyright TV characters. It's the reason I couldn't do Smurfette my year. Right. which saved me a lot of blue paint and a lot of work. Utica.
Sorry, I'm so sorry.
Hey!
When Christina does her show in Vegas, when she did her concert at when she started the beginning of that song, "Ain't No Other Man," mm-hmm. she went up to the audience and went, "Do you want to sing the first note for me?" And she let people, and so the audience just was like, "Hey!" And then she was like, "Oh, how about you? Do you want to try?" And then Christina does it and just blows the walls off the place. She's so good. I love her.
Has she been a judge yet?
Yeah. She did a whole first episode.
Her own illusion.
Oh, yeah.
Very that. We talked a little bit about Utica and doing the Bob Ross. Tinta Burnter is so nervous in her walkthrough with RuPaul.
It's weird because she's and she talks about it a little bit, but like seeing her so confident on stage in New York, yeah. I've seen her like own a room, and she does it from the shoulders up. And honey, she's all shoulders, because like in New York bars, that's all
deep
you can
shoulder
see.
Action.
Deep shoulder action. You can see from about the nipple up, and she can command a room.
She can.
So she's seeing her,
RuPaul's terrifying.
No, she's not. She's just a drag queen. She's not scared. I'm not scared of her.
It's easy to be intimidated by RuPaul.
Well, if you just remember that she's just a drag queen, it's not hard. Yeah, and the fact that Tina's letting her get in her head, that's, you know, her fault. Tina,
now, did you
not...
ever do Jennifer Coolidge?
No, but I got kind of yelled at by her once.
Jennifer Coolidge yelled at you? Why?
Yeah,
I was
in a fitting for American Wedding, and they upgraded
me. You were throwing
me.
A fitting.
Shut up. They upgraded me from an extra to like a speaking part, and they wanted to change my outfit. So I went down to wardrobe, and they like put me in this cute little Hervé Léger dress, and she came in the wardrobe trailer, and then she looked at me and then went straight out of the wardrobe trailer. And apparently they were trying me in one of her dresses, for her character or whatever. And I was told to take off that dress very quickly. They went to Santee Alley, got a new dress, sewed me in it real quick. They wanted something a little tight and skimpy. And they did that. But like, she was not happy. And I heard the words from outside the trailer.
Wow. Word, yeah. That's iconic.
Yeah, it was kind of fun too. I was like, oh, okay, this is Hollywood. But Rue doesn't even remember her doing Jennifer Coolidge.
Right, exactly. It is a very often done audition tape character that no one has done fully on the show yet. I'm sure it'll happen.
It's so strange though to see Tina bring over that wig, which looks like fucking Margaret Thatcher.
Girl, it's
again
Iron
another
Lady.
another white person with an afro, Richard. Like, I worked out with him for years,
right?
And sure, she uses a little color spray and a little action here and there, but like her hair was frizzle frazzle, dippity doo curls.
Yeah.
And it picked out into like a perfect little fro. So that wasn't a perm. I don't know why she chose this hair, other than she had it, maybe.
You know, Ethel, I think she looked great as Ethel Merman. I thought she looked amazing. So you're doing someone who isn't famous, Olivia.
Tabitha Brown, she's just a woman. She's a woman.
Oh, you're not doing a celebrity. That's an interesting choice.
Oh, wait, you're saying I worked with her in one of my many commercials for a lower-end brand. What is that?
Girl.
New Army? Old Navy. Oh, I'm sorry. Old Navy.
New Army.
It's a choice to do someone that RuPaul has never heard of. And I think RuPaul absolutely hates when things like this happen. Because RuPaul is very knowledgeable about pop culture. And so if you choose somebody that RuPaul's never heard of,
you get a pop chip.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
She has a chip on her shoulder from the start. She's like, I told you I didn't like this. I'm not laughing.
Pop secret.
Did you see online what Olivia's first choice was?
Olivia's first choice was Rachel Dolezal, which would have been amazing, but they wouldn't let her do it for some reason. So I don't understand why they're just trying to handicap dolls left and right either. Like, what's wrong with doing Rachel Dolezal? Nothing. She's a public figure. She's in the world. Like,
I would have liked to see it. I hope she posts it on the drop it on the TikTok, Olivia. Drop it on the TikTok.
Drop it. We want to see it, Olivia, please. Show us what you would have done. Olivia, if you're listening, just answer all the questions from Snatch Game, but do it as Rachel, please. And then we'll be the judges of it, and we may send you $25, courtesy of Michael Levine's fabric wall from 2008.
Wow, confetti dot. We'll be right back after this break, and we'll get into some more environments.
Aren't they called landscapes?
Environments. What is the most pressing issue facing the world today? Environment.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back. Come on down. It's everybody's favorite game. It's the Snatch Game. Our first contestant is season 2 runner-up and All-Stars also ran, Raven.
Ravon, looking great as sort of a showgirl, kind of feathery moment, looking fabulous.
Wait, what was that one documentary about those whales in captivity? Blackfish. That's it. Blackfish. And our second contestant is not here.
Pork Chop Parker. Oh, right.
Can we get a 1080 ETA on Pork Chop, please? Where is she?
I had to get my COVID test. I'm here. God bless them for bringing back Pork Chop, who's such an icon and such a referenced figure in the world of Drag Race. And she finally gets a chance to come back in and compete in her own way.
Honey, they had her doing concessions in the Pork Chop Lounge. You didn't see her? They gave all the girls 2 tickets. Some of them got nachos. Some got drinks.
Candy.
She's been doing great.
Cigarettes.
Condoms.
Cigarettes. Pork Chop looking lovely. Gorge. And it's our tradition. We watch the movie pageant around the time of doing Drag Queen of the Year, and Pork Chop is one of the featured contestants in pageant. She is a lovely light of a human being and a drag queen, and really, really amazing. Who stood out for you?
My favorites for Snatch Game were definitely Simone and Cade. They were the ones that made me laugh the most.
So funny.
Who sat next to Olivia?
Elliot with 5 T's.
Candy was funny too. Candy was funny and Denali were funny. But as someone who kind of like, I don't know Patrick Starr, but I've been around him enough and watched his videos, Candy was candy. And that was perfect. I was not mad. I laughed.
Not mad. So funny.
Denali, I mean, I did a video with Jonathan, and Denali had him, if I shut my eyes, that was exactly how Jonathan talks, you know?
So funny, so good, really, really beautifully done by Denali. I really appreciated
it. You saw the prep that went into it. You saw her knowing those exact quotes. The exact quotes were kind of what hurt Elliot, because he had a general knowledge of the character, it felt like, but he had none of the exact quotes. And he must have said gentleman friend.
He didn't have a general knowledge of nothing. And he misspelled Lanai. Okay, it's L-A-N-A-I, not L-A-N-I-E accent.
You didn't like her accent aigu?
No, I did not. And I don't want anyone to go out there and bully Elliot. I'm sure she feels shit enough as it is, having just been kicked off Drag Race. And some of the girls, some of the girls out there are getting horribly bullied, whether they're on UK or this season or whatever, horribly bullied online to the point where it's causing them severe distress. So just let's be a fucking little nicer to our game show, our Super Bowl, our sports stars.
You know what? Okay? I'm not exactly in that same camp with you, because I feel like when you do this show, you put yourself out there and you risk a lot to get a lot. And if you do stuff that people don't like and they're offended by it and then they talk about it and you don't like it, you have the option to log the fuck off. And if you're not doing that, you're allowing it into your life. And
I agree with you on that.
I read Elliot's EW exit interview and having to explain the time that he used the word aggressive, like about Simone's drag and stuff, like you chose that word and now trying to explain it and say that you meant something else about it. Sure. Thank you for that. But that doesn't mean we have to accept that or like it. And also the fact that you had other microaggressions while you were in the workroom, which made people not like you, that that comes into play too, because they didn't show everything that we know happened. So I'm okay with being fair and balanced about this, but like if his mental health is at stake, he needs to log the hell off, because you tried your best, and he said that he was trying to make everybody like him, and maybe that wasn't the best way to go about things. So I understand it, but she was definitely Flapiana in this. This was it just reeked of being unprepared when it's one of the easiest challenges to prepare for. All you had to do was write down exact quotes that she said. So I have no sympathy. And period.
Well, I am a little plucked because one of my backup characters was going to be Rue McClanahan from The Golden Girls.
It still could be. I mean, they let someone do Paris twice.
For when I inevitably go back to the all-winners season, the rumor mill is stirring. I'm waiting for the call. I'm so excited.
Do they have your number?
It's going to happen someday, and I have characters ready to go. I'm going to do Jennifer Coolidge. I'm going to do...
RuPaul.
I'm going to do Whoopi Goldberg. I mean, it's going to be phenomenal.
Did you see a couple of the queens interacting with Kennedy about playing a man on Snatch Game?
Kennedy did Little Richard, right?
Right, and that was sort of the first time. Like, Ben did a male character on All Stars, but then like there was a lot of conversation. Kennedy was like, see? It's funny.
See? It can work. I think that we saw this year, it was a mix up of, you know, male presenting and kind of women presenting and in between presenting. And it was, you know, the world didn't collapse as we know it. It went great. It was funny. Now, it was good.
I have a question. When a girl does not do well, what do you say to her after a show? I usually say, did you have fun? Did you have fun out there? It seems like some of the girls were disingenuous with their comments to the girls that did poorly. Rosé says the girls are delusional, frankly. But I guess which of the girls? Oh, Utica said that Olivia did good after the show, but then the next day in the mirror, she's like, I think she's in trouble. But I don't see her saying as I think she's in trouble as she did bad. Like, she's just saying she didn't do as well as everybody else, maybe, you know? And she's saying, I think she's going to lip sync. So, but Olivia heard it and was like, excuse me, I can hear you. I have two ears and they're close to you. Oof. But Denali also said Utica was Flapiana, too.
Right. First, Before we get into this, I have to say, Rosé was amazing doing her Lawrence Chaney impression on the Snatch Game. She's definitely an honorable mention. She was really, really good. You know, you sometimes give a comment to someone to spare their feelings. Maybe that happened with Utica. Maybe she's a viper and we should get on Twitter and tell her to kill herself. I don't know. I mean, I don't think we should. I don't know what happened with all this, but the cast is starting to kind of feel like Utica has two faces. And sometimes they see one, and sometimes they see another.
Depends if she has her boy brow on or not, I think. Frankly. Have you ever told me I did a good job and didn't mean it?
Yes. I'm extremely disingenuous. I do. I mean, you know, actually, and Race Chaser listeners, we have to just, you know, I don't mean to pull back the curtain, but as soon as the microphones are down on Race Chaser, Willem and I, we fight and we are shady. I don't
like her.
Big Dipper, are we on a break?
Yeah. Right,
okay, thank
clear.
You.
We're clear.
All right, Willem, here's a list of reads. these didn't make the cut for the roast. Read number one. You're an ugly cunt. That's funny. Okay.
What'd you get for dinner?
What? Hand me over that California pizza kitchen over there. No, I don't. I want to meet the Utica who's a raging bitch off camera. I want to meet her. I love sunshine and rainbows as much as the next person, but I also love an evil bitch drag queen too.
We're gonna take a break and go out to the break with this song. I close my thighs, pull back the foreskin. Please stick it all in to my asshole.
You played a Joseph, didn't you?
Honey, I got played by many Josephs.
Ooh, the Pharaoh, honey.
No, I was Joseph, yes, but I wanted to be the narrator real bad.
That beauty did
not compare to my robe.
She
can many colors, all the colors.
Give her robe.
And
the truth is, though, I often do. I often give compliments regarding people's performances or their looks, but I'm not being disingenuous. I really do see. I'm capable of seeing the value and the good in somebody's performance, even if, you know, the judges hated it or you know, somebody else hated it.
Mm-hmm. You always find some way to compliment them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because drag is hard.
It can be,
so wait,
yeah.
Are we really going on a break? I was joking about the break just so I could do that Utica bit. Where I
just saw 0-0, so I thought we were on a break.
Oh, well, I see 34.
But maybe 32. Oh, before that, it was 0-0.
It said 2-0-0. It said 2 minutes.
Oh, so now I'm supposed to look at all the numbers. Just tell me when my number is. Don't make me read the numbers.
I think we should sit in silence for 17 seconds. Or chew. Do you have any food? What are you going to say, Dipper?
I was just going to say,
oops, we're on a break.
Okay.
Bing bang bong,
sing sang song,
ding dang dong. UK minute.
We are proud to announce the following UK minute featuring Manila and Latrice.
It's Latrice Royale.
And I'm Manila Luzon.
And this is your UK Minute.
On episode 8, the queens do their best mask for mask performance. Were any of these girls or guys a hit?
A miss, girl. A Mrs. The queens had to put their comedy chops to the test in a stand-up special. Did any of them deserve tomatoes thrown at them?
They did, but there was no one to throw them in the audience.
Imagine that. Also, we're joined with a very special guest. I heard her initials are DDC.
Oh, yes, it's DDC on the BBC. We have Davina DeCampo.
Yes, for more recaps of season 2 of RuPaul's Drag Race UK.
Check out The Chop every Tuesday here on the Mom Network.
Wow, I love The Chop. I love Drag Race UK. Girl, the girls are unraveling over there in the UK. They are unraveling. Look, fucking Ellie Diamond put the show order together and it was like she did Bob Ross wearing an afro. It was so offensive to everyone.
Honey, when Lawrence Chaney described the order as it should be a shit sandwich and like bluntly basically told the three unfunny girls that they should be in the middle, I was like, that is something that we say to each other, but we don't say to the girls' faces when they're in the middle. This is something that we keep to ourselves. But girl. I love that Lawrence Chaney is letting the little drag secret slip.
You're like a daughter to me. How dare you do this? I'm so disappointed in you. I mean, you would have thought she like punched her grandma in the face. She was so offended by the running order of this show. It's like, girl, just make funny jokes. It doesn't matter where you go in the lineup.
Yeah, it felt like she was pressed before she even bought the button to press.
Baby, it was pressed. Heat pressed.
Back to the UK, back to the Fair Shores of America. You can tell Elliot's about to go home because they're really getting all his story out right now. They're saying, Elliot, tell us about all your relatives that have come to see you in drag.
Right. Yes.
Grandpa came, brought a walker, turned it upside down. Four bottoms were really happy. And they kept the tennis balls on for protection, which I find responsible.
Now,
your parents have come to see you perform, right?
Well, at the pageant, my mom was watching, and my brother was watching, and my dad was watching.
She said, "Let me in, bitch."
My mom was really scandalized, though, and she was watching with my niece and admittedly.
And your brother. Your brother was texting me like that. Because he's like, "Are you in?" Because we couldn't get in at first, and I was like, am I doing something wrong? I was. But Corey and your mom texted me a video of her screaming, "Let me in, bitch!" It was funny.
It was a little scandalous. And I am so... It just goes to show how desensitized I am to tits and ass and pussy talk and sucking dick jokes. I'm like, yeah, sure. Yeah, this is all ages.
I feel like, yeah, all ages with parental supervision.
Does your family come to see you in drag? They do.
Yeah, all the time. They love it.
Yeah.
Denali's parents have never seen her in drag. Her mom says it's like a bedroom thing or a kink. And I do, whenever straight people that are like far out of it kind of ask about drag, sometimes they relate it to like a sexual thing. Like a...
Yeah.
But, like, you know, just because we're sexy.
And I don't, you know, I think I fall somewhere in between. I don't find it, like, sexually appealing, but I do find it, like, spiritually appealing. Donning sort of, you know, feminine or effluvious garmentry. Like, I do enjoy
very my conviction.
I'm not, right. I'm not one of those queens who says, oh, this is just my business outfit. This is just my three-piece suit. I hate all of this. I just do this for work. It's just my uniform. I fall somewhere in between, you know, putting it on to get my rocks off and hating drag entirely.
Simone mentioned that her mom was like, where was she? Because Simone comes out of her shell when she performs in drag. Did drag help you do that too? Or were you?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And Rosé's family has seen her perform and supports her in her career ever since she weaponized her BFA, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
What is this whole conversation about the weaponization of the BFA? Have you heard about all that?
I don't even know what BFA stands for. I know it's a degree of some sort, right?
Bachelor of Fine Arts.
Well, I love a bachelor, so tell me more.
Somebody tell me there's a bachelor.
And I love it when they find, too.
Okay, so when the question is, what kind of man are you into? You don't just say men over and over again. You say, I like a man with deep, dark eyes, cast iron pecs, thighs that could choke a bear, a butt you could eat breakfast off of. Oh my God, it must be 120 degrees in here. Oh.
That
and then you spritz yourself with a spray bottle.
That is the answer, you know, that Ellie did not have even a map to.
Well,
talk about the Gowner Tree?
Yes, please.
Can we please? Oh. Dipper's like, can we get on with this?
This gown in the wide is so beautiful, but then you get up close and you're like, oh, sequin dot. It is sequin dot. RuPaul is in the cheapest drag fabric that there is, but it's effective and beautiful. I'm not knocking her. I love this gown, and I love the color combo too.
She's
long supported the trains industry.
She's dressed as the circus tent from American Horror Story Circus.
Oh. It's
a cosplay. No, I love this. I think she looks cool, and her hair is just gorgeous.
She's got like a light blue slate contact in, and I thought she was wearing a blue bottom lash, which could have been from my line, and then I was like, you're kidding yourself. And I got up close to the TV and just saw it was blue eyeshadow. No.
It could happen. On the judging panel, we have Michelle Visage, Carson Kress-Lee, and T.S. Madison is back again.
Honey, back again. And she is painted and lovely. She looks
so
gorgeous.
So
it was nice. It was
so iconic.
It was nice seeing her in Untucked with the girls, like just kikiing and giving them advice and everything.
Do you know that Fascinating Fascinators was a theme for All Stars and we didn't end up using it? So I had a fucking fascinator. My fascinator looked like Elliot's fascinator. It was one of those like feathery kind of things, but I was going to dress it like sort of like the royal wedding kind of like suit.
Camor Hall. Moment.
Very Camor Hall house.
The first girl out on the runway is Miss Olivia Lux, and she is giving this white patent leather lab coat and mad scientist meets model. I love the lip and the glove that match. It's like this aubergine, or is it grape?
Is it grape or aubergine? I love the fascinator. It's an interesting take on this category, and she looks really cool. It's a beautiful look. Rosé is a rose.
She's baby girl. She's still a flower,
honey. Yes, delicate flower.
Did you see Lala's Instagram post? She was going to do a rose too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but she didn't get to bloom for us. She went home. Utica looks like a picnic that came to life somehow. Like if you planted some acid in the ground at a picnic, this was what would happen.
Very that. It's a great look.
The ants is the button ants. So cute.
So cute. The details are all there. It's whimsical. It's also fashion. I love it. I think it's a great look.
Me too. Not mad at all.
Simone Simonier is giving us just pure elegance. First of all, the look is beautiful. The fascinator is wild. And then she turns around and she says, I also have a very important message with this look.
Yeah.
It was really powerful and really beautifully done.
Naomi Campbell did a white gown like this with some red bullet holes like this on the front. I think maybe the CFDA Awards a year or two ago. And little intel on this, Howie built it.
Wow. Did Howie do this?
Howie did this, yeah. Mark did the hat, and Marco Monroe did the hat, and Howie did the dress. Shout out to Howie, killing it
Hallelujah.
With the dolls. Howie Lou.
Howie Lou. Got Mick is going back to her roots with the signature clown white face, huge safety pin. This is wild. It's a really cool, fun reference and really gorgeous.
This Gottmik look with the punk and the pins and the everything.
Really nice.
I see no way I could add to it as an improvement. Like, she 110%. It's amazing.
Yeah, totally. Denali comes out on fucking roller skates with a fucking hot coffee pouring on her head. They were calling this a costume, but it's like, no,
it's
not.
It's obviously custom. It's not, it does. It looks like if it was cheaper, it could be a stripper bag costume, but it's obviously not. It's great.
I loved this. And her dexterity on skates is really, can we all wake up and stop sleeping on motherfucking Denali, please?
Can we wake up and just start sleeping with Denali? Because she would be great at a gangbang. She's so flexible. She can obviously hold three different things, put something in her hand, put something on her head, give her head, like
with
put her leg up.
With a coffee pot on her head.
Honey, she could do it all, Denali. We love her.
We do.
Elliot is in an asymmetrical one-legged cat suit. He says he's a flamingo.
Yes, and the flamingo reference makes sense to me. I feel like she was going for, like, really couture with this, but there are a few elements that didn't take it there for me. The rhinestones on the leg and the arm, I think, actually do a disservice to it, because if she's going for, like, really couture, I think the rhinestoning should be, like, gradiated, mm-hmm. or not there at all, or just a bare leg. I don't know. And the lip sort of disappeared and, like, washed her out and then changed her whole face. There are elements I like. I love the fascinator. It's cool.
I like the shoe.
Good.
And I just feel like she didn't look happy to be there. And I understand, like, some runway models look like they're giving, like, bitch in the wind face, but, like, yeah. She didn't look like she was confident or wanted to be there. And bitch, if I saw all those other girls' outfits and I was wearing that, I would feel the same way. So I get that. But a little smile wouldn't have hurted. And that washed out lip, you can only wear that lip on the day you get pumped if you have those size lips. That it just disappeared.
We want to talk to you about Juvederm Plus. We have a new sponsor here. Tina Burner's all smiles. What the wait? Why does she have this tiny little horse on her?
Honey, she's bigger than the horse. I love this. She got a pony. She has a little tiny Patricia Field horse, Sex and City purse on her head.
If you're gonna do a miniature horse, then just do, like, a whole horse, like, galloping on your head. Why is it this weird stuffed animal tiny baby horse cartoon? The outfit is cool. The blue ribbon purse, gorge. Tina, if you're listening, please send that to me. I want that. That's so sickening.
Candy has a houndstooth layered look with a big old fascinator.
Candy
says,
looks so cool. I love this. She's doing, like, sculptural. It's large volume. And then, you know, and the black turtleneck and the black long sleeve underneath. At first, I was like, I don't think it needed that. Now, after watching it again, I'm like, I really like the place it takes it to.
Yeah, the hounds had teeth this week for sure.
The hounds have teeth.
The safe queens were declared as Simone, Tina Burner, and Candy Muse. Rue thanks Simone for her powerful message on the runway, mm-hmm. and we can all agree that that was definitely necessary.
Yes.
But of course, the girls are mad.
Tina's plucked. And why don't we take a break and then breaks?
This is number four.
I'm calling OSHA. We're all just supposed to work through lunch too now?
There's a timer.
Jesus Christ.
You can't see the timer.
I can't see the timer. The outline blocks it. And you're moving your computer.
And I heard it. Okay. We kind of talked about the judges' critiques, right?
Yeah, we definitely did. Michelle, I like that she always starts with a compliment. She'll tell you what I do like. She loves that Olivia gave an unexpected look, you know.
I think her hair looks gorgeous. That's about all I think looks gorgeous. That's Michael Kors. Who really got dog walk today?
Utica. Utica had, Utica. You know, I think it was just a little too smart for the room, and it was the kind of thing that would have maybe been funny if it was edited quickly in a YouTube video.
Yeah, that's true.
But it wasn't right for that kind of broad slapstick, let's hit him with a funny and keep it rolling banter. It wasn't bantery at all.
No, it wasn't. It was sort of introverted and in its own world, which doesn't really play well. And also, Eliotina, they found her look polarizing. Michelle was like, the more I look at it, the more I kind of understand. But the snatch game was small and inaccurate.
That's what my review said when I was hooking.
Small and inaccurate. That's,
damn.
Now, what would the judges do if they were to do a snatch game character? Carson says Michelle Visage.
Michelle says that'd Rosie Perez. Funny.
Okay.
Rue says Pearl Bailey.
Work.
And Madison says Ursula the Sea Witch.
I live.
She says fat fish, bitch. Honestly, I just want Madison as a permanent judge.
I mean, really, a permanent fixture.
Also, Rue does say to Gottmik, man, you turn it on this runway every friggin' time.
That's true. I mean, it's true words.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I don't know where she gets her ideas, but they're brilliant.
Very brilliant. And it's no surprise that Gottmik Atina wins a cash prize of $5,000.
I feel like she's already won more than Miss Congeniality this year because she's up at 10 now.
Girl, the cash prizes are rolling in, and I love that aspect of it.
They got the ducats this year for sure.
Girl,
the
bottom,
the safe girls are Denali, Rosé, and Olivia,
mm-hmm.
which leaves the bottom two mm-hmm. as
Eliotina and Utica. And I'm fascinated by your love, boy. It's a fun lip sync.
Yeah, honestly, I was entertained. I loved the energy, but I feel like having it's a lip sync. We need to see your lips. Elliot, put on some lipstick. Like you had the chance to put on some lipstick.
Look. She was trying to look. I've been through periods in my drag career where I just put good old foundation over the lips and said, "Let's go to town."
You have lips though.
Well, I can't say that I did at the time. They a 100-day sleep trial on these babies. They're recalling the silicone. The product is recalled. It's pulled from the shelves. So Utica wins the lip sync, and Elliot says, "Look, Mom, I don't have to fly under the radar anymore. I get to be a woman."
Can I tell you though? Go ahead. Sorry.
What is that about? Because Lola said the same thing, and Dipper, you wrote this on the outline. Like, is that about like transitioning?
I think it's just saying, like, look, I made it to the biggest platform of drag ever. Look, Ma, I did it. That type of thing. I'm a woman. The funniest thing.
Yeah, that's how I read it.
Yeah, that's how I thought it. The funniest thing that Elliot did this episode was laugh at his own joke as he was leaving when he's like, Flamingo, go! In Untucked. It was so funny. And, like, it was one of those moments where I was like, I'm glad he left on a positive note with me laughing. Because I do feel for him, but he gave us what he gave us. Or she gave us what she gave us.
I feel for you.
Did you watch Untucked this week?
Sure did. Something happened. T.S. Madison came in and had a really nice chat with the dolls and said, drag is not an identity, it's an art form. And I love that sentiment, and I love that statement. That was fierce.
Yeah. I'm just happy that they're sending girls home.
You're pleased. You're pleased about this.
Yeah, because like we've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We've had like 9 episodes this season, I think, or 8 episodes. And I feel like we should be further along. And the girls are starting to get on each other's nerves. Like, they're mad at Utica, who seems like one of the nicest peach pie girls.
Utica, she's playing. You said something during lunch the other day that all of the girls need to talk to you about.
Right before you lip sync, too.
I have ears and I'm right over here. Why you talking shit, hoes?
Oh, yeah, no, I knew you were there.
We're not talking shit about you, you silly little sunshine rainbow. That fucking whore. No, I'm just kidding. yeah, I mean, Utica, I'm interested to see how this Utica thing plays out. I guess that's all that happened in Untuckers.
Yeah, I think we're actually played out and we're going to go now. So thank you so much for joining us on Race Chaser this week. I'm Willem.
And I'm Alaska.
And we would love for you to write a review of our podcast on your podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe. And you can take a moment and leave us a rating too, because those help.
That's right. And you can follow the dolls at Willem at the Only Alaska 5000. And our Race Chaser account is at Race Chaser Pod. And our Mom Podcast account is at Mom Podcast. Tune into that one for the look at the girl, or so for the see something segment.
Yeah. That's where you got to look.
That's where you got to look.
Some of the girls don't even look, but I do.
I do.
There's also bonus content available.
If you're not looking at Mom Podcasts, you're only getting half the shum of the girls.
You're only getting the shum. There's bonus content available now at patreon.com/Willem. And you can search for the Race Chaser content specifically by using the hashtag Race Chaser. But just scroll down. You'll find them. It's not hard.
And you can email us anytime at racechaserpodcast@gmail.com.
And please wear a mask, wash your hands, socially distance yourself, and respect each other out in the world.
Hallelujah.
I like to get disrespected, honey.
Environment.
What privilege.
Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, audio, and video clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and or copyright holders.
Forever Dog.
Race Chaser with Alaska and Willem is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.